You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. God bless. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. This program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, and we meet Wednesdays for midweek Bible study at 6 o'clock. Now, this Wednesday will be our Christmas Eve service, and you are invited to that. That will be this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. You are invited. We'd love to see you. If you're free on that Wednesday, I invite you to attend our Christmas Eve service. So we'd love to see you. Now, here on the radio, you're going to hear my sermon I just preached on Sunday, and it's called The Mysterious John the Baptist. It's one of my favorite topics. I preach this sermon frequently every other year or so, right about this time. Why everyone else is preaching the Christmas story on the last Sunday before Christmas, I like to preach on something else that's going on in the same area, right behind the scenes that sometimes you don't see, that not only is God doing a work here in the Christmas story, but right down the street, God's doing another work as well, and that is preparing this man, John the Baptist. I call this sermon The Mysterious John the Baptist because the origins of this guy, man, they are heavy. This is some deep stuff. This is an awesome mystery, who this man is. So that's where we're going to look at here today. This will wrap up tomorrow on Wednesday. We'd love to see you on Wednesday evening at 5:30. Sunday, my sermon is, we're in the book of Romans. We'll be in Romans chapter 11. This Sunday. Hopefully we'll see you on Wednesday. Part one today, part two tomorrow, The Mysterious John the Baptist. The Mysterious John the Baptist, that's where we're at here today. Many churches today are preaching the Christmas story, but I want to do something a little bit different here this morning. Kind of a tradition for me here, though it's been a couple years since I've preached it. You see, not all that far down the street from the incredible display that the shepherds were privileged to see. Not all that far down the street from there, there is another work that's going on. Really, it's never mentioned this time of year. God's doing another work on the other side of town. Now, today I want to look at the last Old Testament prophet. That's John the Baptist. I also want to look at what transpired behind the scenes that brought John to Israel. Now, John the Baptist, knowing the work of John, what should we call him? How about John the Methodist? That's probably better. You know, speaking of John, reminds me of this story. One day I heard that John the Baptist and Moses and Jesus and a fourth were out here playing 18 holes at a golf course. So Moses went out, hit his ball, goes in the water. You know how angry Moses would get, pull a Bo Jackson, break that club over his nose, over his leg. So Jesus gets up, hits a ball, and it goes, falls on the water. But it sits on top of the water. So Jesus walks out on water, gets his 9-iron, hits it down, bloop, down in two. So the fourth player went out, hits his ball on the water, and then a largemouth or a speckled herring, you see, Captain,
grabbed the ball, and then a big fish, a big bird comes down, grabs the fish, takes him over, drops it right in front of the hole. Hole in one. So Jesus turns to his partner and said, "Nice shot, Dad." Think about the images we get from this guy. What goes through your mind when we mention his name, John the Baptist? For me, it's like Charlton Heston, if you've seen the movies. And repent, right? Herod, you filthy swine. Or you brood of vipers, he would say, right? Boy, that John was one tough hombre, wasn't he? Pulled no punches. I once heard through my various moles and spies that he would eat locusts and broccoli down there at Sonny's Barbecue down the street. Now that is one really tough hombre. I would have loved to play John the Baptist in the movies. Arr, scallywag. Nah, that's a little Barbossa thrown in there, I think. But I submit to you that there's more to John the Baptist than meets the eye. Why is he so overlooked by Christians? Why no deep studies into his origins? So this is the subject of my sermon here. The great John the Baptist. And it's not just me who calls him great either, because Jesus calls John the Baptist the greatest human being ever. At least anyone that's ever been born of a woman. He's the greatest ever. That's high praise, isn't it? So to get started on John the Baptist, we need to go back to the very last word spoken in the Old Testament. Turn with me, please, to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. Malachi, or as they'd say in Jersey, Malachi, lives on 3rd Avenue. Chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Okay, here we go. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. These are the last recorded words in the Old Testament. God speaking. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Hear what he just said. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." There's only one problem. Elijah already lived 500 years earlier than this. Elijah already lived. Fast forward now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. You guys can turn there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 1. Now, Malachi was written 430 years B.C. And to go from there to where we're going to go now, look at all the silence. The Bible says of another time that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Same here. 430 years. Imagine all that silence. Maybe it seems like God hasn't spoken to you in 430 years. I mean, imagine going from George Washington to now without ever a word from God of instruction or anything. But let me encourage you that it's all the same day to him. It's all the same day to God. God hasn't forgotten you. The question is, are you going to where he is speaking? That's why I call my radio show WGOD Radio. God's always broadcasting. You just got to go to where he's speaking. Is your Bible dusty? Or perhaps crusty? God hasn't forgotten you. And he hasn't forgotten his plan. We've been looking at that. That's why this fits right in. The prothesis of God. God's plan. He hasn't forgotten his. Now remember his plan and his last recorded words here as you got your thumb right here. Don't turn. We're in Luke chapter 1. Let me read to you again the last thing that old Gabriel said. The last words of the Old Testament. He says, behold. There's my favorite word in the Bible. Is behold. I love that word. Meaning, check this out. Behold. I am going to send you someone that lived 500 years earlier. I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, fast forward 430 years. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Now there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. Now remember, this is the angel Gabriel speaking. Verse 14. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. All right. Now this is where it gets interesting. Look at the next verse. He will go before him, that's Jesus, a capital H there in your Bible. He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Look what it says next. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Did you catch that? He's showing us that this is this. This is that prophecy. That's the same thing the angel said to Malachi 430 years earlier. And God didn't even skip a beat. The last thing he said in the Old Testament was the first thing he said in the New Testament. Didn't skip a beat. And the last thing he spoke in the old and the first thing he speaks in the new relates to this mysterious man here, John. Man, oh man, there's more to this guy here. You see, in the fullness of time, God will reveal his plan and act upon it and accomplish his will, just like he did here and just like he will with you as well. He's not missing a beat when it comes to you either. It's all the same day to God. Let me ask you the question. Are you in a quiet time right now? Does it seem like God is giving you the silent treatment? Because of sin, perhaps. Disobedience, perhaps. Perhaps God put it on your heart to do something and you have not done it yet. The bad news I have for you today is that God can wait. Isn't that bad news? It's all the same day to Him. You're not hurting Him by not doing what He told you to do. Only yourself. It's all the same day to Him. Or perhaps, you see, it's through no fault of your own. It doesn't have to be due to sin. I want to encourage you. It's all the same day to God, and He hasn't forgotten you. God's silences, sometimes they're deafening. But there's always a purpose when God is silent. Many times He's testing you. He's testing your faith. Will you trust God in the quiet times? If God is silent in your life today, and it's because of something you've done, let me encourage you to make it right. Maybe He's waiting on you to do the last thing that He instructed you to do, just like this gap here. It's all the same day to Him. Just like Jonah the prophet, Pastor Darren's teaching on Wednesday nights. He'll pick up with you where he left off, same as he does with Jonah. So, we already see a supernatural connection here between John and Elijah. Because the angel is calling these two guys the same person. And he's not the only one that's going to call him that as well, coming up. Now, after the birth of John, the Bible tells us this. Luke chapter 1, verse 80, it says, "So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel." No clammy handshake with this guy. Ever shake hands with a dead fish before? Not with this guy. Pretty good scene, isn't it? John the Baptist, Sue, you can turn that mic on. He's biding his time, you see. He's waiting in the shadows. He's waiting in the wings. And in the meantime, you see, not many miles from there, everything that we've looked at going on behind the scenes, not many miles from there, perhaps right down the deserted highway, there's another event that's going on at the same time. And that's going to sound something like this.
"Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'"
Thank you. All this while the quiet man bides his time in the desert, just waiting for his time, waiting for the call from the heavenly bullpen. God's got John's cell phone number. And he's waiting for that text. Now, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. "Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilates, being governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the regions of Trachonitis, Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, then the word of God came to John, son of Zacharias, in the wilderness." You see, once everything was in place, then the word of God came to John in the wilderness. You know, come to think of it, it's the same thing with you as well, not just John. Perhaps God is waiting for a few more governors in your life as well. Dot an I over here, cross a T over there, and then all of a sudden, wham, here comes the word of God. Here come your marching orders. You're just waiting for the fullness of time. You see, God's got to line up a few more things in the right place, and then all of a sudden, just like John, then all of a sudden, the word of God will come to you just that fast, while yet waiting all this time. Look at all the small details that had to happen. And the waiting is now over. Now back to John. Like I said, I really believe there's more to this guy than meets the eye. And in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John will now introduce us, John the Apostle will now introduce us to John the Baptist and inform us as to the fascinating origins of this mysterious man. Now, I'm going to read. You don't need to turn there. You can if you want. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Just going to read one verse. John, chapter 1, verse 6. Here we go. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Seems no biggie on the surface, right? But let's dig a little deeper and let's slow down reading this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Let me change the wording a little bit to help us better understand this, to help you grasp what he's saying. There was a man sent from the police station whose name was Officer Rick. There was a woman sent from the adoption agency whose name was Elizabeth. Here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I see, now I know what you're thinking. This is supernatural. Hello, you think? Of course it's supernatural. Why must God always fit into your box all the time? He's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. Now, let me give you an even larger perspective headache here this morning. The Greek word translated from is the word para, which means alongside of. Here's that word in action. Para, right? Paralegal. Parallel, right?
Strike a pose.
Parallel. Paramedic. Paranoia. Paraphrase. Parapsychology. Paradox. The Lord spoke in parables. Paramilitary, paranormal. Here you've got paratheu, alongside of God. There was a man sent from alongside of God whose name was John. Fascinating, isn't it? Could that possibly mean what it says? You bet your sweet bippy it means just what it says. And that is, John is not normal. I'm so glad that I'm not the only one. John's not normal. He's supernatural. Can't you just hear it now? Okay, where's my whistler? Can't you hear it now? Here you are, up in heaven. There was a man sent from alongside of God. Hey, John! You're up. That's not me, that's what the word says. Or more appropriately, would he say? I know I miss you when you're gone. Hey, Elijah! You're up. Now, Jesus is going to prove that here. It's not me. I'm not off my rocker here on this 21st day of July 2087. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 10. I just want you to see that God doesn't fit into our box. Someone who creates all this by saying, let it be, let it be. Paul McCartney, eat your stinking heart out. God says, let it be, and look what you see. There's more to him than that. Come on, he's Almighty God. He created all of this. Don't put him in a box. You know, sometimes when someone asks me to pray for something and I forget to pray about it, you know, I pray after the fact. It's all the same day to him. What, he can't go back in time? He is time. I can forget to pray for something, forget to pray for someone, and pray for them afterwards. It's all the same day to him. He's not subject. He doesn't miss the boat like I do. He doesn't forget like I do. I pray afterwards, and he can answer it before it happens. Now, Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 10. Just a couple of verses I want to look at. Now, they're walking down from the mountain. They just saw this vision. They just saw Elijah and Moses with Jesus up on this mountaintop. So they're coming down, and as they're coming down, these guys remembered their Old Testament, and they remembered Malachi chapter 4 when he says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah before the day of the Lord. So that's what's on their mind. They're on their way down, and these guys are going to bring up that verse to Jesus. Okay? That's the backdrop for where we're at. All right. Chapter 17, verse 10. The disciples said to him, why then do the scribes are those that are in charge of guarding the Old Testament. Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Now, you all know the reason for that. We just read it 10 minutes ago. The Old Testament said, right, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. That's what started this sermon. And they just saw Elijah a minute ago. So they want to know, what's up with this? Now, Jesus answers the question. Look at his answer. Verse 11. So Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, there's the Spock eyebrow. Indeed, Elijah is coming first, and he will restore all things. But I say to you, all right, here comes a lion to gum up the works on us. But I say to you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.